I guess an appropriate title for this message would be Standing Against the Evil, or Standing Against the Evil Crowd. Daniel chapter 6 is always going to be one of our favorites, I believe. It has to do with Daniel in the lion's den. It has to do with the fact that Daniel was willing to stand regardless of the pressure. What goes on in our world today is the devil likes to put pressure on people. I dealt with a lot of peer pressure in school, and children do if they go to public school or if they're in a workplace or sometimes in a family. You have pressure for you to do things a certain way. And that pressure a lot of times will push you the wrong way. And you want to fit in with the crowd. And none of us like to be a standout. None of us like to be a loner. We were created as social beings, and God meant for us to have the interaction with families, which is why He gave us a family. But there are a lot of people that will pull and push and use their influence for you and for me to try to push us the wrong way. It started all the way back with Eve putting pressure on Adam to eat of the fruit of the tree. It went on into Cain and Abel when Cain got upset with Abel because Abel did it the right way, worship God the right way, and Cain didn't like it. They got into a discussion, probably something like this. Abel told him, said, "Why didn't you do it God's way? I want to do it my way. God should have accepted it," which is the mindset of a lot of people today. But the truth is, people put pressure on people to do things to fit in. And when you follow the crowd to do it the wrong way, you're going to make God mad. It's always going to come with a high price. You're sacrificing, not only are you sacrificing rewards by doing it the wrong way, but because you could be doing it the right way and get God's blessings. But if you do it the wrong way, there is no middle ground, by the way. You either do it the right way or the wrong way, or you don't do anything, and still God's going to hold us accountable because He expects us to be busy. And so what we see here in this particular passage is Daniel, about this time, he's somewhere close to 90 years old. He's been in Babylon for more than the 70 years, because they were in captivity. But at this point, it's at the end of the captivity, and Daniel was about a teenager, we imagine, that when he was taken from Babylon and seen his family, probably his family killed and city destroyed, and they were taken captive. But Daniel, and if you follow, it's amazing, because no matter where he comes out in the kingdoms, whether it was Babylon or in the Medo-Persian kingdom that took over after being conquered Babylon, Daniel still was, even in the eyes of these pagan kings, he was somebody special. I want you to think about that. There needs to be an influence from you and I as Christians, and I see it so much that so many that don't do it the right way. But you and I need to have a good influence in people that don't necessarily believe like we believe. We need to treat people well. We need to have respect for them. I remember when I was when I was in Kansas City, I had a job as a lunch monitor. You want to have some fun? Watch 120 third graders or fourth graders or fifth graders like I did by myself in the lunchroom. It'll keep you busy. But they knew I was get their attention, let's put it that way. But the truth is, I would call them, they'd have to raise their hand before they could get up to go get the ketchup or put their plates away or go get their milk or whatever. And I'd say to the little boys, I'd say, "Yes, sir, what you want?" Finally got to a point where they said, "Why do you call us sir?" I said, "Well, I'm showing you some respect. You don't want it?" And it helped them understand that I was giving them some respect, and it helped them give me respect right back. But what takes place in our world today is there are people that these men and these kings that Daniel was under, they knew, they respected him because there was something special about him. And the special thing about him was found in verse 3 here. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God, and we're going to cover some things here. This may well be one of the most politically incorrect messages I've preached in a long time. Starting with verse 1, it said, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, and the princes, that the princes might give an accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him." I think you ought to note that if you write in your Bible, an excellent spirit was in him. "And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." By the way, that's a good picture, a good type of Jesus. That when you inspect somebody in the Bible and you see somebody that they can't find any fault with, that's what they did with Jesus. They couldn't find fault with him. But did that set them aside? Did that change their mind that they didn't want to attack him? No, and that didn't change here either. It says, "Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then the presidents and the princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever." You hear them, they're buttering up the king. "All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come before you thanking you. Thanking you for this man, Daniel. So much that we can learn from him. And Lord, we thank you that we have such an amazing account of his life here in this blessed book. And Lord, we ask you to teach us from the Word of God to be the Christians you want us to be, to stand against the evil like you want us to. And Lord, we're asking you to show us your will, your way, and give us the courage, give us the wisdom, give us the double dose of your spirit that we need to make a difference. And Lord, we want people to see an excellent spirit in us as well, your spirit. For it's in that lovely name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. As we're focusing today on a day of prayer for our president and our country, I thought it was appropriate that this is a very appropriate lesson for us, text from us, for us to preach from today, because this is exactly what's going on in our country today. We're seeing an evil crowd that doesn't like our president, just like these people didn't like their president. Daniel was the number one president under the king. I like this statement here that says in verse 3, it says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. If you would, turn in your Bible to Psalm. Hold your place there in Daniel, but go to Psalm 75. Psalm 75, we're going to look at a few verses here. And I'm going to teach you some lessons that'll help us know where to stand on some of these evil things that are going on in our world today. And I know most of us already know where we need to stand, but it always helps to have a Bible, a scriptural reason to understand where God stands, where He wants us to stand, and how we're supposed to be. Because remember, when you got saved, when I got saved, the Bible says we're not our own. We're bought with a price. And that price was a high price. It was the blood of the Lord Jesus. He was the one that paid the price for us. And so what we need to do as Christians is to make sure that we understand, since we're not our own, we should not follow our own dictates, but follow the dictates of the Word of God. Amen. Look at verse 7 in Psalm 75. And it says, but God is the judge, He putteth down one and setteth up another. Now, how was it that against all odds that President Donald Trump became president? Oh yeah, we vote, a lot of us voted for him. But do you realize how many people, dead people voted for Hillary? But the thing is, God's the one, this is what the scripture says, but God is the judge. God is the judge, and He putteth down one and setteth up another. A couple more verses I want to look at. Go to Daniel chapter 2. We're in Daniel anyway. Daniel chapter 2. We've got a couple verses we want to look at there. If you hadn't noticed, I'm having fun. I hope you are too. If you get up, we'll know why. But anyway. Verse 21, chapter 2 of Daniel. And now this is the decree that Daniel's telling Nebuchadnezzar. He was wanting to know the dream. And this is, let's start with verse 19. It says, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. Who sets up kings? God does. Who put our president in position? God did. Like it or not. You know, He could have done it if nobody had voted for him. Donald Trump. How would He do that? I don't know, but he can do anything He wants to. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But we know that He can do all things. And there's nothing too hard for our God. One more place. Daniel chapter 4. Now, by the way, some of you might not know this, but Daniel chapter 4 was not written by Daniel. You say, what? Daniel chapter 4 is actually an official government decree written by none other than Nebuchadnezzar himself. Nebuchadnezzar wrote a chapter in your Bible. Think about that. This is a decree. And this is Nebuchadnezzar's testimony of how he got saved and became a follower of the God of Daniel. I'm not going to spend time there, but look at verse 17. And this is, by the way, the word watchers is an interesting term. God has spies. You know that? They're called watchers. And they watch and see what if any damage is done to God's name. Sometimes they take care of it right there. If you read Daniel chapter 4, you'll see that's exactly what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar got boastful and he started bragging on what he had accomplished in the city of Babylon. And the watcher said, you ain't going to get away with that, boy. And they took care of him. For 7 years, he was eating grass like an ox. He had feathers growing out of his body. His fingernails turned into like bird talons. He went crazy for 7 years. And this is the testimony of how God got that test and got his attention. Well, look at verse 17. It says, this matter is by the decree of the watchers. This is what the watchers were stating to Nebuchadnezzar. And by the demand of the word of the Holy One, it says, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men. Now, if you want to, you can write Obama right next to that. But anyway, I know I have too much fun sometimes, but I'm being honest. Okay? I don't take the position of pastor as the shepherd. I don't take it lightly.
Right.
And you're going to hear things from this pulpit you might not hear too many places. But the most important thing is what's going on in our country. What's going on in our country is we've got Satan's attack on our country trying to pull us away from God, away from truth. The only way they can take away our freedoms, the freedom of speech, the Second Amendment, which gives us the right to bear arms, our freedom of religion, all the freedoms that we have, the freedom to work and live where you want and go where you want, all those kind of things, they're whittling away at them simply because they want to conquer this country. And I say this quite often on the bus. There is no way that this country has gone $18 trillion in debt accidentally. You can't do it. It'd be like you and I overdrafting our checking account by $1 million. Anybody done that lately? And that's the truth. And what we're doing, what we're seeing in our country is an attack on our president because he's trying to do it right, even though God put him in place. And by the way, just as Daniel was preferred by the king, by King Darius, Donald Trump has been preferred by the King of Kings. Okay? That's the one that put him in place. And we need to pray for him. We need to stand with him. We need to understand that this is a wicked, wicked time we're going through in our world, in our country. And, I mean, but when was the last time you saw, and I think we're really in a crisis time in our country, because when was the last time you saw so many states deciding they were going to stand against abortion and pass laws against abortion? And time and time again, you've got states that are for abortion and their laws state that they are. You've got states that are actually passing laws where it's absolutely outlawing abortion after the heartbeat's detected. And the heartbeat's detected after just a few weeks. But look at what's going on with Daniel. Now, Daniel was standing. He was trying to do right. Why do you think they attacked Daniel?
Because
because of his integrity, because he was honest, and because he was a God-fearing man. The reason they were, you know what you won't do? You won't look the other way if you've got integrity, and if you're God-fearing, and if you're honest. And the truth is, what's going on in our country is the same problem. The evil crowd in Daniel's day wanted to go the wrong way, and they were getting kickbacks, I'm sure. There was a reason that they didn't like Daniel, because he was, and by the way, that was a reason why the king put Daniel over the whole crowd, because he knew Daniel was honest and had integrity. And so what we see in our world today is the same, very same parallel today, because one of the things that the president said he was going to do when he took over was he was going to drain the swamp. He would get rid of the snakes. And you know that don't happen without a fight. And he's got a fight. And he needs our prayers. See, President Trump's got an advantage that Daniel didn't have. You say, what is that? President Trump's got you and I praying for him. As best we can see in Daniel's occasion, the only one that was standing with him was King Darius. And King Darius was tricked into signing the decree, which put Daniel in the lion's den, because Daniel would not compromise. Even to his own hurt, Daniel wouldn't compromise. And I want to tell you something. One of the things that we need to see in this world today is we need to see Christians that will compromise.
That's right.
If it's right, stay there. If it's wrong, get away from it. The truth is, this world is dying, this country is dying for lack of Christians with no guts, no integrity. And we've got to have people. You say, well, I can't make a difference. I don't have that much. You just do what you can where you can. God will use you more than you know. People watch you. People watch me. They want to know what we know. See, so much of this world is, they're like Jell-O. Their opinions don't matter. They know they really don't matter. They're personal opinions, and they change them at the drop of a hat. But my feelings on the Bible have nothing to do with an opinion. It's a conviction. A conviction is something you die for. You've set in stone. A preference is something. You go to the restaurant and you choose what you want for a meal, and you go back the next time, you don't get the same thing. That's a preference. If you go to a restaurant and have a conviction, like you like biscuits and sausage gravy, and that's your conviction, it's not going to change. But the truth is, this world's dying because of Christians without conviction. Our president's being attacked, and we need to stand with him. Our country needs to stand with him. We're commanded. Go over there right quick to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy 2. This is Paul's command to Timothy in the first letter that he wrote to him. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Then it goes on to say, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And look at this next statement here. It says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. There's a lot right there. But we're supposed to be praying for everybody in authority. We're supposed to be praying for supplications. Supplications are the things that you need. God to supply your needs. And it goes on to say prayers. Praying for everything that burdens you down. Intercession, pleading for other people like we're doing for the president today. We're interceding for him, praying for him specifically. And it says, and giving of thanks. Boy, if we can't give God thanks, I don't know what's wrong with us. Because he's been really, really good to us. And to see this country of ours like a ship going down is not very unsettling to me. And it should be to all of us. And we need to make a difference. And we need to be praying for our country, for our president, for all in. Hey, yeah, we need to pray for those that are opposing him to get saved. For God to get them saved. I mentioned it. Hillary can get saved. Now, the demon inside of her can't, but she can get saved. Same thing with Nancy Pelosi and all those other crowd. But the truth is, we need to pray for our president. And we might be just the reason that he gets elected four more years. Amen. You know what? I'm going to give you my opinion. I don't normally do that sometimes, but I believe that it's very possible that they're trying to impeach him because they think he might actually end up getting elected again.
That's right.
It might be the only way they can get rid of him before 2024. But our country, it needs you. It needs me. I remember seeing as a boy the signs when they were signing up for the Army in front of the recruiting stations, and the Uncle Sam wants you with the finger pointing at you. Well, Uncle Sam wants us again. But King Jesus, he's wanting us. He's wanting us to stand. He's wanting us to be right. The Bible says, Psalm 84:11 says, the Lord promises no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You do it right, God's going to bless you. He's going to bless you more than you can imagine. He's blessed us already by giving us salvation that was absolutely free of charge. He's put us in a country that stands right, and we can have the freedom. Aaron and I went and knocked doors yesterday. Not one time did anybody. I've had a few times where people would oppose me, but I've never had handcuffs on. They never took me away. Oh, they told me I need to leave, and sometimes I did, occasionally. But the truth is, we have not only have a privilege of living in this country, but we've got a responsibility. The Bible says, to whom much has been given, of him shall much be required. And God wants us to stand. God wants us to make a difference. I don't know how long we're going to have. If you read the signs of the times on the back of the bulletin, I listed quite a few things on there. Our country's been going through a lot of natural disasters, tornadoes and all. 225 tornadoes through the Midwest in the last, and as far east as New Jersey in the last few weeks. Just total chaos in a lot of places. We might not have much time. But the truth is, we need to make a difference. This is a message for us to help us pray for those in authority, President Trump, Vice President Pence, our Congress, our local officials, but also pray for our church, pray for our families, pray for those that we're trying to win. We've got a prayer list that we need to pray for. We got people we want to see saved. And they might not get to heaven if we don't pray for them. Our prayer makes a difference. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You just don't know. Been a little bit different message today. But a kind of a wake-up call, I think, for all of us to help us to realize we're in a crisis in our country. And we need to pray for America. In Sunday school, we were talking about, I was in Matthew 23. And it said, Jesus was calling the Pharisees. He said, they say and they do not. They were telling people how to live, but they didn't live that way. That's a hypocrite. God doesn't want us to be that way. God's not going to bless us if we're that way. But what we need to do is to realize. I think about Esther. Could have preached from there. Mordecai told Esther, "For who knoweth whether thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this?" God's got us right here at the right time to make a difference in our country, in our church, in our community, in our world. Let's don't blow it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. We come before you thanking you for allowing us to have the freedoms that we have in America. A lot of us are saved because of the freedoms in America, and people were able to preach and teach and share the gospel with us. And Lord, we don't want to get in the way of, we don't want to hinder that. Lord, we want to keep it going on for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren's sake. Lord, help us. Help us to see your hand move. Protect our president. Just cover him with the blood of Jesus and bind Satan as he tries to come against our country and our president and all those that are trying to do right. And Lord, those that are on the fence, those that are not willing to do right, I pray for you just to help convince them. You got Moses' attention with a burning bush. You got Paul's attention with a bright light on the road to Damascus. Lord, you can get these people's attention as well. Lord, we pray that that happens. We don't want to see even the most wicked go to hell. We want to see them get saved. Use the invitation. Draw us close to you. For it's in that mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.